partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, Holmes!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets it.
Dave's not here!
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Welcome to the third day of January 2023. We are here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. We are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Come to the home page. And do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. Thank you very much. So, what's happening?
Welcome back to the Grease Monkey Videos channel. This is 100% demonetized and 100% viewer supported. I can't do it without you. In my last video on this channel, Shares Mad at You, Lockdown Arkansas, and Trust Government, I said this right here. Look at the anemic views that I have for as many subscribers as it got. Same thing with High Impact Flicks. If you think this channel sucks and the content that I put out sucks and I'm a dumbass or whatever, let me know in the comment section below, how can I improve? How can I improve my intelligence? How can I challenge my audience better? How can I pick up out topics that would get more traction, let's say? Let me know. Let me know. If there's something that I can improve on, if there's a reason the view counts are down, let me know. Just be honest with me. Shoot it straight. Cut through the BS. All right, so I put that out in my last video, and I got a couple of responses. A couple of them I want to read to you right here in the comment section. Blobby Sloppy says, Brian, you asked for constructive criticism, so here it is. I appreciate the hard work and effort you put into this channel. It does get hard to listen to nonstop bad news, and I sometimes have to take a break. We do have a few victories, and it might help if you celebrated them when we have them instead of constant bad news. There is good news sometimes, and that needs to be out there too. This might be why your views are down. Hope this helps. I really appreciate it. I mean, the reason I'm concerned about my view count is because I believe I have a message that will help set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And like I always say on this channel and all my other channels, you and I are only as free as the people in our community, as the minds of the people in our community. If they're in bondage in their minds, then they're going to be in bondage in their lives, and they're going to act in bondage, and they're going to request that we all, including themselves, including us, be oppressed by our political and law enforcement oppressors. And that right there is how you degrade society, you demoralize them, you dehumanize them, and you lead society down a road where bad things start happening to a lot of good people. So I really appreciate Blobby Sloppy saying this. Nicholas French says, if I'm being honest, it's why I stopped watching. I pretty much unsubscribed to most channels I used to watch because of the nonstop negativity. One thing I'm positive about is that there's plenty of negativity out there. I agree on one side that, you know, you can't concentrating on all negative without coming up with solutions, without showing some positive things we've done, it can get a little exasperating and people get a little bit discouraged. And I don't want to discourage anybody. I want to use this channel as a platform where everybody's got a voice. There is no censorship. You can say things that, you know, I'll disagree with or you'll disagree with or whatever, but we can come together and kind of hash out these ideas, find out which ones are the best ones so they can rise to the top and make society better. Overcoming the world responds to Nicholas French and says, yes, I've gotten to that point of exhaustion from the negative, haven't unsubscribed yet. I also came to understand my exhaustion came as well from the lack of those with a platform coming together. I agree with that. Not discuss the storylines of the day, but rather discuss options of how to unify, organize, and compromise in order to overcome the beast system. And we do have the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, you'll know, own nothing and be happy, eat the bugs. We're going to issue carbon credits. We're coming up with UBI. We're coming up with the CBDCs. But how do we get together? How do we organize? How do we cooperate? How do we unify? Because I think there are more of us than them. And the us that I'm talking about are people who truly love liberty, people who truly don't want to reach out their hands and initiate unjust force and violence on peaceful people who haven't done anything wrong, people who do not believe that they have a higher claim over the life and property of others. And we need to stave off the people who actually believe that. Those are the people that are bad for society. Those are the cancers of society that lead us all down the tubes of, you know, desperation and communism and Marxism and just evil. So what I decided to do in this video right here is show you something positive. You know, I don't know how many of you know somebody whose minds are leaving them, who have a mental disorder that is really hamstringing them, which is, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, and all these things that really attack the brain, and it goes after somebody's actual personality, who they are, who they were, what they've done in their lives. They start forgetting basic things like how to turn a doorknob, how to turn on a water faucet, how to take care of themselves. They forget people in their lives. So I thought this is something that I posted on my High Impact Flicks Twitter page. If you're not following me, it's at High Impact Flicks. And it's got the verified check mark. So that's, I went ahead and did that just so, you know, because there's a lot of people who try to copy your channel and all that. So I just said, the question is, can you watch this while keeping your eyes from running like a faucet? And as much, I don't like to operate on the plane of emotion, but I also recognize that we're emotional human beings, and emotion is good as long as you're not ruled and controlled by emotion. You don't want to make decisions in your life based on emotion. You want to base it on logic, rationality, and reason. Things that make sense. Emotion will lead you astray, but emotion can also be healing, and I think that's what we're seeing in this right here. I'll probably interrupt a couple times because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to break a copyright or anything on this, and you know, there is fair use. So forgive me if my breaking in is too much, but I thought this was pretty interesting. Also, let me also say this is likely a never mind. I'll just say that at the end. You tell me what you think about this.
Just getting married. Father's sitting in the chair.
Hi.
Good.
How are you?
Are you ready?
Yeah, thank you. Great.
Thank you. I have a big surprise for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Yeah, let's see. Why don't you just come right here with me, okay?
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
How are you?
Pretty self-explanatory, but apparently that, you know, this is his daughter. It's her wedding day. He's got Alzheimer's. He doesn't know who she is at times, but she's going to do something that they always used to do together when she was a little kid. That's going to cause him to realize again who she is so that they can have him mentally included in her wedding day, which is just beautiful to me.
I have a friend. Come on. Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be great, okay? This is a very, very special surprise. Okay? All right, be careful right here. There's a big set. All right? There you go. Okay? Here. Yep. I just want you to come right here with me, okay? It's a big day. It's a very big, special day, okay? Can you sit right here for a second, please?
Yep.
Okay. Look. Yes. There we go.
Hey, look at this.
Yeah. Okay, look, I have...
Just in case you're driving and you're trying to watch this video, actually you shouldn't be watching this video if you're driving, but she sets up a canvas and paints because this always brings him back. It brings him back mentally into the present so that he can understand who he's dealing with and who his daughter is.
A special surprise for you right here. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, like this. You know, paint. We used to do this, you know, paint. Yeah, you like this? Yeah. Okay. Oh, that looks good. That looks good. All right.
Honey, my Julia. You look so pretty.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
It's today.
Yeah.
Your
wedding.
Let's go.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
My baby. She looks so pretty.
Come in,
Tina. Okay. Hey, it's so beautiful.
Oh, right there.
Hey, look at her. She's beautiful.
It was very difficult to watch that the first time without, shedding a tear or two. So I wanted to just do something positive on this. It's pretty interesting and very sad what happens in this life. You know, people that you love, people you respect, people you cherish, they get to a certain point in their life. Some people do, and I don't even know what the cause of dementia is or Alzheimer's. A lot of people speculate there are certain things in like drinking water that are probably not good to drink because it speeds up that process. But there are people in your life that when that kind of thing happens to you, if they truly love you, they just take care of you no matter what. And this is just a beautiful thing. So leave your thoughts about this. Do you know anybody that suffers from dementia or Alzheimer's? Being a 24/7 caregiver to somebody in your life that your loved one is a serious, serious task. And I thought this was kind of a bright spot in all the negativity in the world to bring somebody back to the present who's basically losing their mind and their mental, their cognitive ability. So leave your thoughts about this. If you have a similar thing going on in your life, leave a comment. And if you guys enjoy these videos and you want to see more of them, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, share it with everybody you know. Don't forget to subscribe to my private email list through my website, highimpactflix.com. If you want to support the channel, grab a hard-hitting conversation starting design from the shirt store. You can put on a shirt, hoodie, mug, cap, cell phone case, whatever you want. I'll see you guys in the next heavily censored Shadow Band video.
John Kerry was just interviewed recently, and, you know, we're racing towards the electric vehicles. California said they're by 2030. They want all electric vehicles. This is what John Kerry just said. John Kerry says green energy transition isn't happening fast enough. Everything has to accelerate. He's talking 20 times faster for electric vehicles. But as we've talked about, there's a problem here.
He said screaming into his cell phone from his own private jet, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's a problem with that, though, because these batteries, they require lithium. They require cobalt. Lithium in South America's lithium flats, and in the Congo with the cobalt mining, you have basically slave labor and kids that are working down there doing this. And it's an environmental disaster. And here's, you know, luckily we have some balance in the reporting here. Here's one of the headlines here. Elephant in the room, clean energy's need for unsustainable minerals. So they're finally realizing, people are finally, this is like a topic at, you know, dinner tables now, that these minerals are unsustainable, and we're rushing this push into this, and we don't really have a contingent plan for how we're going to find all these minerals. But also, the renewables themselves, they rely on energy storage, not when we're talking about cars, when we're talking about entire grids for cities. And some more conversations are coming out to balance this, and this, people are saying, look, this isn't really realistic. This is a study just recently. This is the headline here. Lack of energy storage makes renewables only grids a pipe dream. And it says in here, renewables only grids require large amounts of electricity storage to make them viable. However, the world currently lacks any power storage technology that is both affordable and scalable. As the paper's author, Francis Menton, explains, the amount of storage required is very large, perhaps as much as 2 months of average demand. The cost then becomes absurd. You can spend all of your GDP on batteries every year, and it would still not be enough. Hydrogen is better, he goes on to say, but it's astonishingly expensive, and it's very insufficient to insufficient to really power this. But so we have this grid, you know, in this perfect world, we have this grid. It's great, even if we did have the minerals for it, and even if we did have this storage technology. But what happens when, you know, people like Switzerland have an energy crisis going into the winter, like they're having right now? So we have Switzerland, which has over half of its energy is hydroelectric, but in the winter months they have to rely pretty much on imports. And we're obviously in the winter in Europe there, in a lot of these countries, and they're having energy issues heating their houses. And so when there's an emergency, this is what Switzerland plans to do. Headline: Switzerland could ban electric vehicle use during energy crisis. This is a report. And so they're talking about basically banning electric car use for non-essential travel.
Well,
so
I mean, they basically did the same thing, right? During the power, you know, sort of rolling blackouts they're having in California, you know, there were people being told, don't charge your electric vehicles right now, which is amazing, because aren't they, you know, in California, they're trying to have like all electric by, you know, what, 10, 15 years from now or something.
Yeah, exactly. So they're saying, that's great, we can have that, but if there's any issues with the power grid, electric vehicles are banned. And in this contingency plan in Switzerland, they're talking about only keeping your refrigerator to a certain degree, and so on and so forth. We've heard those headlines before, but that all goes into effect in Switzerland, you know, coming into these winter months if they have problems with imports. And we know there's a lot of problems with imports, as we reported on before as well. And then another angle, and kind of a final angle to this I want to put in here, is this thing called ESG. This is environmental, social, and governmental investing. And there's an explosion of looking through investments decisions through this ESG lens. And asset management industry has responded to this by offering sustainable, social, responsible funds for people to invest in. But there's an issue with that as well. This is Harvard Business Law, and there's a lot of great research going into this now to uncover an inconvenient truth about ESG investing. And it goes on to study a lot of reports showing what are some of the issues with this. But one of the studies we'll look at here is a title here. It says, do ESG funds make stakeholder-friendly investments?
No.
It says, using a comprehensive study of self-labeled ESG mutual funds as identified by Morningstar in the United States from 2010 to 2018, we find that these funds hold portfolio firms with worse track records for compliance with labor and environmental laws relative to portfolio firms held by non-ESG funds managed by the same financial institutions in the same years.
Wow.
It also goes on to say, finally, ESG funds appear to underperform financially relative to other funds with the same asset manager and year, and to charge higher fees. Our findings suggest that socially responsible funds do not appear to follow through on proclamations of concerns for stakeholders. So, as you're seeing there, it's kind of an issue there. And not only are they not returning the capital, but even for people saying, well, I'll take a little bit of sacrifice on my returns to help the environment, they're not seeming to do that. So what's the answer? We're seeing huge backlash now. And from one of the biggest portfolios, Vanguard. This was out of Reuters. This is mainstream headlines now. Vanguard quits net zero climate efforts, citing need for independence. Vanguard manages about $7 trillion in assets. They're one of the top ones next to BlackRock in this, and they've exited. They've really become the biggest ones to do this. So this is a major blow to this ESG investment paradigm or scheme, or however you want to look at it.
Good.
It's all so confusing because we've talked about Vanguard before and BlackRock, these two monolithic companies that essentially own the world between the two of them. And you would imagine they're the ones investing in World Economic Forum and all these things that are pushing these agendas. And all of a sudden, when they say, no, we don't want to be a part of this, it's not sustainable or financially intelligent.
Right.
It leaves me just looking forward to next year and all the investigations we're going to need to do to figure out what the heck is going on here.
Right. And maybe 2023 is the year of gray area and, no more polarization. You know, things may not be exactly what they seem, black or white, plus or minus.
Yeah.
So this also goes to states. Now, states are taking a stance on this as well and withdrawing some of their portfolios. Now, this talks about BlackRock and concerns them directly. State treasuries yank $1 billion from BlackRock due to ESG worries. This is South Carolina, Utah, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri. They're all backing out of this. Now, again, BlackRock holds multi-billion dollar investments. So this is a small drop in the pot, but it is a drop nonetheless. Mm. And one of the biggest people to pull out recently was Florida. Here's the headline here. They're the largest. They're taking out the largest amount. Florida pulls $2 billion from BlackRock and largest anti-ESG divestment. And we go to their finance manager at Florida. This is his Twitter account. He says, using Florida's cash to fund BlackRock's social engineering project isn't something we signed up for. It's got nothing to do with maximizing returns and is the opposite of what an asset manager is paid to do. We are divesting from BlackRock. And so a lot of the headlines that we're reporting on this saying, oh, it's just a couple of Republican states, but we have now a Democratic-run state in North Carolina that is making, maybe not such a bold move because they're keeping their assets at the firm, but North Carolina treasurer wants BlackRock's CEO to go. So they're asking the CEO to step down because they're not really treating the funds correctly. So this is Larry Fink. That's the head of CEO. So that's a good move, I guess, on that part for people that are really seeing the balance of the ESG conversation.
Well, and when we say just a couple of Republican states and now maybe one, Democrat state, these couple of states get to sort of stand as a historical reference point as these things move further and further down the road. And you start watching what states invested correctly and how their finances are doing, just like I think we're now reflecting on Florida and Ron DeSantis' decision to pull out of the COVID lockdowns earlier than almost anyone else, being told that he was going to destroy humanity and certainly the humanity inside of Florida. Instead, he's got skyrocketing numbers and everyone moving there. I think that, slowly but surely, one state, five states, 15 states, this is how change really happens. It starts in this grassroots space, and it's where politically, I've said growing up a progressive liberal that, I'm now politically marooned. But one of the tenets I really do am starting to appreciate more and more of is this idea of localized government, bringing the power of government closer to you. The smaller the government, the more power it should have. So give city and, county councils more power than the state, than state over the federal, because it's so hard to affect federal government and change there. Whereas if it's close to us, we can elect and de-elect those that aren't representing us. And so these states stepping forward and watching them really find that power, I think it's kind of exciting.
Absolutely. And in local government, your voice and your needs has a greater percentage of being heard and being valued as well.
Wouldn't that be sweet, huh? Yes, that's a thought. Definitely a thought. Do I have enough time? No. So, let's see. I don't like the idea of investing outside of ourselves. I mean, we think because somebody else is in charge of our money that they're going to do better than we can with funding our own funds. I don't want anybody getting in charge of my funds. I mean, come on. I should be able to have the power and the resources at my fingertips to use cash. I like cash. I pay extra to use cash, okay? And so, that's what I like. I don't want any of this phone crap that everything goes through debit card and all the rest of that, because I've been swindled. I've been robbed by debit cards and companies who have the numbers and the other things like that. I mean, how are you supposed to trust any of this crap? Now, I can trust my cash. I give you a 10. My bill was $8.50. You owe me $1.50. You know, what's the issue? And if I feel that your service was good enough, I might give you that $1.50. Just because, even if you don't think you would accept a flipping tip, here. Because it's the better ways to make your choices. And I bet you everybody in hearing distance has had your debit card, your credit card, or something else like that through the debit or through the digital, has had something be used against you because somebody could. Just saying. I mean, it is where I really want to have control over my finances. I don't want somebody else having control over my finances. Direct withdrawal? Hell no. I'm paying for my bills in cash. Like it or not. And if you won't give me that alternative, then I'll find someone who will.
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories. What do you believe?
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good thing we don't sell anything, right? Or do we? I think we do have some banners on the homepage of things that you can purchase from maybe other producers and things like that. Yeah. Every little bit counts. So don't forget. So, supporting us financially is the best way to keep us on air. Thank you.
Moving to the health conversation here, we're going to need a really activated population because here's the headlines coming out here. This is a talk about diabetes, obesity, type 2 diabetes cases among young people skyrocketing due to rising obesity rates. Remember, type 2 is lifestyle-related diabetes. Obesity, nation's obesity epidemic is growing. 19 states have adult obesity rates above 35%, up from 16 states last year. And even this headline, you know, it goes all the way into cognitive issues. Ultra-processed food intake linked with cognitive decline study. And so where can we point to this? Well, there is an organization. They started in 1917. They have it's called the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And they're responsible. If you go to their website, they say this is their mission. The Academy is committed to improving the nation's health and advancing the profession of dietetics through research, education, and advocacy. Dell, this reminds me a little bit of HHS saying their mission is to enhance the health and well-being of Americans through scientific research and public health. So we have this organization, and boy, on their watch, they're really not doing a good job. So what gives? Well, scratch under the surface a little more, thanks to the U.S. Right to Know. It's a nonprofit organization. We have some FOIA emails, and here's the headline out of The Guardian. Revealed, group shaping U.S. nutrition receives millions from big food industry. It goes on to say the Academy, they call them, accepted at least $15 million from corporate and organizational contributors from 2011 to 2017, and over $4.5 million in additional funding went to the Academy's foundation, which is that nonprofit foundation they have. Among the highest contributions came from companies such as Nestle, PepsiCo, Hershey, Kellogg's, General Mills, ConAgra, and the National Dairy Council, and the baby formula producer, Abbott Nutrition. Now, Dell, hold on, listen to this. It goes on to say the email reveals the Academy in 2015 was in a sponsorship deal with Abbott and was discussing how the Academy could use its dietitians' influence in pediatricians' offices to push Pediasure, one of the pharmaceutical giant's infant nutritional products. Abbott at the time had in place a two-year, $300,000 sponsorship deal. It goes on to say the Academy also owned Abbott stock at the time of the deal, and plans a record show. It also owned stock in companies with which it had a sponsorship deal, PepsiCo, as well as financial contributors like Nestle. This is Gary Ruskin. He's the head of U.S. Right to Know. He says, this is astounding. That belongs in the Conflicts of Interest Hall of Fame. It is off the charts, he says. And then it goes on to say, separately, in 2015, a partnership between the Academy and Kraft ignited controversy when the Academy agreed to allow the company to put its Kids Eat Healthy seal on Kraft Singles packaging, which suggests an independent source verified the product's nutritional value. But you and I know that they didn't. And
wow.
So you want to talk about the baby formulas, just as a side note to that. Remember, there was a recall of Similac in this country. This was a big story here. And this was one of the headlines. The legal industry really jumped on this because they were pushing suits for infant deaths, wrongful infant deaths. In wake of Similac recall, FDA announces strategy to keep Cronobacter out of infant formula products. That's the bacteria. So Abbott had to close his plants because of a necrotizing enterocolitis. That's the NEC. These are lawsuits from kids in the NICU that were given this, this formula. And, you know, they basically passed away because it was a stomach formula that was eating their stomach. It was a pretty terrible situation. But Abbott, you know, internal emails show that Abbott knew about this and they still market it to the hospitals, you know, the typical corporate playbook. But this is what's going on behind the scenes here. There's real damage when these organizations, you know, I've heard some people say, oh, it's agency capture is great. It helps them work more closely with the industry.
Oh, my God.
Not to the evidence I've seen. And so here's the paper. Those FOIA documents, those internal emails were actually incorporated into a research paper. And this is the paper. If anyone wants to read it, it's a long read and it's amazing. The Corporate Capture of the Nutrition Profession in the USA, the Case of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Now, understand, they are influential at setting the U.S. dietary guidelines. So that's a huge thing. They're also big in lobbying for any changes to the state for health and nutrition. So that's a big deal because that's where a lot of these guidelines really do come from. And so we have this organization, really a behemoth organization that's a front for our companies. But we also have, as a last stopgap measure, like the ACIP committee, we have this independent advisory committee that sets the dietary guidelines. It's the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. And so this was a study showing how they were balanced. Was there conflicts of interest within this committee? Remember, this is kind of the last stopgap independent committee for these dietary guidelines. Here's the headline: conflicts of interest for members of the U.S. 2020 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. Says here, results. Researchers write, our analysis found that 95% of the committee members had conflicts of interest with food and or pharmaceutical industries, and that particular actors, here we go again, including Kellogg, Abbott, Kraft, Mead Johnson, General Mills, Danone, and the International Life Science had connections with multiple members. Research funding and membership of an advisory executive board jointly accounted for more than 60% of the total number of conflicts of interest documented. So they're top heavy. Their leadership is conflicted. So you know what's going to come below that is more conflicts of interest. And so, you know, Del, the reason we report on this so much, people say, I know this story. But until we can clean this up, until we can get everyone on the same page and realize that these industries and these watchdogs may not be working in our best interest, that's one of the biggest first steps to changing culture and to changing how we live in our everyday lives when it comes to these overarching agencies.
Truly is the regulatory swamp. I think, you know, at this point, I'm resigned to just assuming every regulatory agency that says it's looking out for my own good is probably mostly being staffed by executives from the very industries I'm supposed to be being protected from, whether it's aviation, drugs, vaccines, food, I mean, the environment, you name it. It just seems like regulatory capture is complete. And anybody that thinks it's a good idea, then there's a couple bridges in this country I'd like to sell you. These are outrageous times. It is really the forefront of our work, Jeffrey. And it's what I'm really excited about. If people have been watching throughout this year, we really are taking this knowledge that you and I and our team has gained through being very specific early on for the last, you know, five or more years, however long we've been doing the high wire now, since 2017. But that work was really specifically around vaccines and that research. Well, we really have, I think, completed all the research that needed to be done or could be done on the childhood vaccine program. Now we're going to be connecting the dots of the COVID vaccine to that program so people understand it. But our understanding that we've gained in going down all of those rabbit holes, opening every door, talking to all the legislatures involved, we now see the pattern and are understanding these other issues, whether it's banking or energy, food supply, all of that, which is why it's been so exciting to be stepping into these other spaces. And we're going to be doing a lot more of that, as we've discussed, as we move into next year, really broadening, you know, our view. And we're still going to hold on to this sort of transparency, you know, that we're talking about when we talk about the high wire protocol, but moving into these other sectors that I think are really going to be affecting our lives and certainly our children's and grandchildren's lives. But it all comes down to this generation, this moment. And I'm just so proud of the work that you did throughout this year. And of course, all the way through COVID. Just you're such a fantastic team player. And it's just an honor to know you. And I look forward to, you know, getting even deeper into these issues in the new year.
Oh, thanks, Del. That's really sweet to say.
As we look to the new year and everything that we're planning on, and we reflectively look back at everything we've been through, we find ourselves asking a lot of questions right now. But one question that perhaps we aren't going to be asking ourselves is whether or not we're going to miss this guy.
With me today is Dr. Anthony Fauci,
director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Dr. Anthony Fauci,
chief medical advisor to the president.
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
She's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And so she should not get it?
If she really has the flu, she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine.
If you take it and then a year goes by and everybody's fine, then you say, okay, that's good. Now let's give it to 500 people. And then a year goes by and everything's fine. Say, well, then now let's give it to thousands of people. And then you find out that it takes 12 years for all hell to break loose.
I've heard some parents claim that measles vaccine can cause brain inflammation known as encephalitis. Is that true? Is that true?
Brain inflammation, encephalitis.
Encephalitis. Can measles vaccine cause encephalitis? The vaccine?
The vaccine, no.
There's no cases of it.
There is normal.
Wuhan coronavirus. Bottom line, we don't have to worry about this one, right?
This is not a major threat for the people in the United States, and this is not something that the citizens of the United States right now should be worried about.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of that?
Because people are listening really closely to that. Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Now, early on, when we were in a situation in which there was a real concern about the lack of personal protective equipment, we were thinking we would run out of masks and other things for them. So the recommendation was not to wear a mask because of the shortage of it.
A lot of folks are hearing now about double masking, wearing two masks or trying to get one of those N95 medical grade masks.
So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective. We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person.
If you've been vaccinated, can you give the virus to others, and should you still wear a mask?
You can give it to others. You should wear a mask.
You have to do something that's rather draconian. And sometimes when you do draconian things, it has collateral negative consequences. Just like when you shut things down, even temporarily, it does have deleterious consequences on the economy, on the school children. You know that. But you have to make a balance.
And I'm wondering why you're asking me about lockdowns, because there were not complete lockdowns in this country.
I didn't shut down anything. We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Here we are going into the third year of it, and we are still in the middle of a pandemic.
This paper that you were referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly.
As attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted.
Yes, you should.
That's right. You should be prosecuted. And by the way, it doesn't matter that we're moving into a new year. There are plenty of senators and congressmen that now have on their docket an investigation into Anthony Fauci. And I've told you, I won't sleep until we've done everything we can to put this man behind bars. I believe he is guilty of crimes against humanity. And whether or not he considers himself science itself, I think he's more like the pace car of science that got lost in a dead-end cul-de-sac somewhere around the AIDS epidemic and has only been destroying us ever since. So I look forward to continuous investigations into Tony Fauci. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest right now. If this guy truly disappears, I will be amazed. Because when you have built a world around lying and disinformation and misinformation, all sorts of answers for decades, in the end, you're the only one that can hold up all of those lies. So I really wonder how they're going to replace a man and all of the, you know, the stacks and stacks and stacks of half-truths and lies that now sit as the library at the National Institutes of Health. Who can keep that all together other than Tony Fauci? I guess we'll have to see. But something tells me you'll see this guy lurking around, because someone's going to have to keep holding and pinning and sewing it all together as we move forward. But as we have watched on the high wire this year, and I'm sure there are many, many more insiders and, you know, people that are going to bring us the truth from whether it's media or medicine or even legislation around the world. So many questions, so many of the right questions are now being asked. The one thing that I find myself, you know, wondering is how do they think they are going to get away with all of this? Well, we certainly will see as we go into the new year, and you're going to see a whole new attack from us, whether it's a legal attack on laws that are trying to take away our rights, our freedoms, our liberty, or whether or not we're just going to attack all the dis and misinformation being spewed upon us by mainstream media. We've been here the whole time. We are not going anywhere. And I want to thank all of you that have joined us throughout the last few years. It's only going to get better as as we bring this thing to a close. Out there in the future for all of us, somewhere is the answer. That moment when truth really does prevail. We plan on sticking a flag in that moment.
Well, we gotta stick a bunch of done flags and all kinds of stuff. That's literally being... People are buying a bad bill of sales. Sale, whatever. People have to investigate a little more before they go and invest time and money and effort into this crap.
One of the most important stories that was reported throughout the summer, it's still been going on in the background, and we forget about this because it's in another country here in America, but it's in the Netherlands. We have the Dutch farmers, and they've been protesting because their farms are being really closed in upon by the government. The government put nitrogen restrictions of up to 95% on Dutch farmers. And the Netherlands is really the breadbasket of one of the breadbaskets of Europe. As far as its land size, there's a lot of farmers that are proportionate to its population. So it's a very interesting, you know, if you want to call it attack on farmers via this sustainable matrix. And they were asked to cut their fertilizer. They were asked to cut their heads of cattle. And they were already implementing a lot of these things, but it wasn't enough. So the government really moved in on them, and you saw a lot of protests throughout the summer months. And now we're seeing kind of the next phase ratchet up here into this. And you know, it's not an accident we're reporting on this, because this is such an important topic at the end of the year here, moving into this into 2023. Here's the headline now as we're closing out 2022. Netherlands to close up 3,000 farms to comply with EU rules. It says here farmers will be offered a deal well over the worth of the farm according to the government plan that is targeting the closures of 2,000 to 3,000 farms. Earlier leaked versions of the plan put the figure at 120% of the farm's value, but that figure has not yet been confirmed by ministers. This is the nitrogen minister. She says, there's no better offer coming. They're kind of playing hardball here. This is Christiane van der Waal, nitrogen minister, told MPs on Friday. She said compulsory purchases would be made with pain in the heart if necessary. I'm sure that will be painful for the government to make compulsory purchases.
Wow.
So what's going on here? We're looking at this happening, and people are saying, you know, we're moving into a food crisis. There's, you know, there's inflation. People can't really afford groceries, and you're shutting down the farmers in the Netherlands. Well, the World Economic Forum has a plan that's kind of coming to light here, and it's really shedding a different angle on this. And a lot of the farmers had also said this may have been the plan. Check out this video from the WEF.
Okay.
Wish I could tell you this, it's just working so fast. I can barely read. The World Economic Forum is really trying to put everybody in tiny little boxes to live. The way that it's looking and what they're doing, yeah, it's like, overpopulation, but where are they going to get the resources to support them? No, the World Economic Forum sucks.
It's amazing when I watch these videos coming out from the World Economic Forum, I just wonder who's their head of promotion and PR. I mean, it always seems like this is the worst advertisement for whatever you're dreaming up here that we could possibly imagine. But this idea of just being stacked on top of each other, I'll be honest with you. You know what this reminded me of when I was working as a producer on the CBS talk show, The Doctors? We went to Haiti right after the big earthquake that just killed an incredible amount of people. And being there, what you realize is these giant tent cities, like nothing I'd ever seen in my personal life before. But those were all people that used to be farmers and out in the country. And just over the years, as sort of industrial agriculture took over, all of these people just forced into the cities. And so that's where you really had just amazing amounts of squalor and sewage running down between these tents and children, no clothes. And it just reminded me of that sort of progress, right? Where we go away from people having jobs and working and being able to be a part of the land to just stacking them on top of each other with just very little to even survive on. And if that's some dream for our future, I hope below the no box, there's definitely like a check. Hell no. Oh, hell no.
Right. And, you know, it may not be really easy to see what's going on in some place like China, or as it said in the video, in Africa, when they're packing everybody in these cities, you know, hundreds of millions of people. But in the Netherlands, this is all pretty much farmland, and they're trying to kill this farmland as quick as possible. And on the top of that, all of a sudden, this megalopolis tri-state city, this is what it's being called. Now, this is an article from 2017. This is when it really started to roll, but the farmers weren't under this much pressure. They were still feeling some pressure from this net zero push, but they weren't getting this heavy hand from the government like they are now. So here's the headline in 2017. Dutch investors launch new marketing program for the Netherlands. Tri-State City, it's called. They said a group of institutional investors in the Netherlands have joined forces to present the Netherlands plus parts of Belgium and Germany as a single city network named Tri-State City. The project, backed by Dutch employer organization VNO-NCW, that's the largest employers organization in the Netherlands, by the way, says the region's population of 30 million people creates a sustainable urban powerhouse. The project supporters include property developers and pension funds, as well as Utrecht's Economic Board. That's one of the larger cities there. It goes on to say, you know, why are they doing this? We had talked about this, Del. Why are they doing this? According to these people, the Netherlands must present itself as one of the most powerful and sustainable city networks in the world, the project's backer says. It is about how Dutch companies present themselves to companies such as Apple or big Chinese firms. Prologis Benelux director Bram Vennerhoeven told Financiële Dagblad, that's one of the papers in the Netherlands. So it's not about, you know, individuality, independence, really helping communities grow. It's about how we present ourselves to Apple and big Chinese firms. We have to look good on the international stage. That's why we're going to do this. We're going to get rid of farms to do this too. That's, I mean, reading between the lines.
That's
here.
That's just disgusting.
What it's looking like. So this is actually, they have a website, tristatecity.nl. And if you go there, you can see kind of these dream plans for this megacity. You have this megalopolis with a population around 45 million people extending across the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, and maybe not as many farms there anymore if this comes to fruition. And we've seen, you know, in these megacities, now, even in the smaller cities, that wouldn't be considered a megalopolis, but cities like Oxford or Canterbury, we'd report.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's hyphen thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Today is the third day of January 2023. We are listener supported, so please do us a favor. Go to the homepage and do a donate click.
On this before, these cities become so big and their traffic becomes really bad, and we're getting situations like this, a 15-minute city within the city. And this was the headline we reported on just a couple months ago. Yeah. Oxford set to cut its famous traffic jams by degrees. The university city will be divided into six districts, and motorists will get fined if they leave their neighborhood too often. And in Canterbury, this is the same thing that was happening there. This is now moving forward. This is the latest headline from that. Canterbury traffic zones like post-war Berlin without the wall. They're talking about the segmentation that they have going on there. So this is what's going on when they think this interconnected sustainable powerhouse Well, it's going to be divided up like pies, and you're going to need permits according to these plans to go from districts of the city to other districts.
That's not fair.
Wow. I mean, it's horrifying. But I think, you know, in some ways, horrifying. Many of us that have been in cities, like we were in Los Angeles before we moved out to Texas, I mean, that kind of already is a mega city, right? I mean, you can drive from, you know, I don't know, at this point, Ventura all the way down to San Diego, and you never get a sense that the city's leaving. And more as you go up through Bakersfield on your way to Las Vegas, you could easily imagine a point where all of that is connected and just becomes this giant cesspool of, you know, mask lovers.
Yeah, that's scary. Mask lovers?
Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Wednesday, December 21st, 2022. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is a very special show because we're getting some new information, some new truth on how this mass genocide operation is unfolding in the world. Tonight, I have the pleasure of meeting up with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's one of the foremost authorities in this COVID scam and who never pulls any punches. She's never given me a moment of doubt about her intentions and about her veracity. And her narrative has always been consistent and helpful towards saving humanity. What she is about to lay out in tonight's show is that there are actually now four phases known for people who have taken the shots. The caveat is exactly what I've been saying for 2 years now, that there are many different things in the shots at any given time. And even within the same lot number. Formulas are changing all the time because they can under an emergency use authorization, which they are getting away with continuing in spite of the absence of any evidence of any kind of health emergency. The primary poisons can be different on any given day, but nevertheless, these shots are filled with different types of poisons, either in the adjuvants or the lipid nanoparticle constructions or in the genetic code. Some of them are mRNA codes. Others are partial codes that no one knows what they are coded for. Dr. Tenpenny will break down across these four phases, which she has categorized as immediate death, several months later due to spike proteins that have had the time to grow and concentrate, 1 to 2 years out with cardiac deaths now peaking, and the fourth phase she will describe, which is 5 to 7 years out with multiple manifestations of autoimmune diseases, antibody-dependent enhancement. It's obvious if you go looking at the Pfizer and Moderna and other numerous pharmaceutical company pipelines on their own websites, that their pipes are bursting with mRNA technology. So many hundreds of drugs are going to be pushed at you. Do you think that's because it's been so safe and successful? Because this technology is safe? No, of course not. People, animals, everything dies with it. Or do you think it's because they're being incentivized to join in on cleaning up and wrapping up this mass genocide operation? Dr. Tenpenny will go on record to predict what she calls a tsunami of regret. God help us all. Well, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has been at the forefront of the COVID hoax from day one, and actually even before that. Dr. Tenpenny graduated from the University of Toledo and then went on to complete her medical degree at Kirksville College in Missouri. Just about everything she's predicted that would come forth for those who've taken these bioweapon shots has come to fruition. And it's been way too long since she's been on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, even though she's been what I consider a remote mentor of mine, whether she knows it or not. And I'm so excited to welcome her back to the show today. Dr. T, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me back, Jane. Yes, it's been a while, and it's great to see you and talk to you again.
Yes, I've actually missed you. Just the two of us have been running so crazy, and I know you're speaking all over the place. But I'm really happy to have you. You know, Dr. T, I talked to Dr. Marble the other day, and he said, you know, we're at peak death and destruction from these shots. And I thought, wow, okay, you know, love talking about that. I know you've predicted a lot of things related to antibody-dependent enhancement, timing of the shots. I'd love to get into that a little bit with you starting here. What are your thoughts about this? Is there a paced out death and destruction?
Well, I really like Dr. Marble, but I would have to disagree with him just a little bit. I don't think we're at the peak at all. I think that we're at the front end of the curve. I think that what we are going to see, you know, is going to be an accelerated hockey stick over the course of the next several years. You know, sadly, it's a claim that I wish I didn't have. It's a claim that I wish was wrong, that everything that I've talked about and mentioned since March of 2020 has fallen into place, been off a little bit on the timelines, but everything has been exactly what I said. Because back in, you know, because they think about this, in March of 2020 is when the pandemic started. It was in December of 2020 when they released the Pfizer and the Moderna shot. And it was February of 21. So we haven't even been a whole year since they released the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca shots, which they've sort of quietly taken off the market. They didn't make a big deal of it. They just quietly took it off the market. And at the beginning, you know, when I talked about the 40 mechanisms of injury, and I said, well, category number one is acute death. Those were the large number of people that die within the first 48 to 72 hours of getting a shot. Anaphylactic shock, blood clots to the lungs or to the brain, heart attacks. The second is the spike protein death rate, which is the spike proteins are real. The spike proteins have been around for a while. And just because people are saying, you know, we're looking at these slides and we don't see any spike proteins now, doesn't mean that they weren't there for the last 2 years. They're changing the formulas a lot. And because this is still under EUA, they can change the formula up to 49%. They can change it and not even notify the FDA or let anybody know that they've done it. So I think that they're changing things all the time. So people are saying, well, this isn't there, and now it's only hydrogel and graphene oxide. That may be the primary players now, but it probably wasn't the primary or the only players back all the way through 2021 and maybe even through most of 22. We know that the cardiac deaths are going to start they're starting now. That we're seeing all the people that with the sudden deaths that they've come up with this fabricated name called SADS, you know, sudden adult death syndrome for healthy people. And doctors are perplexed that they don't know why people are just dropping over. And that's going to be the next several years, the next 2 to 3 years. And then the antibody dependent enhancement, when you get after you've created an antibody and you're re-exposed to garden variety coronaviruses, and that is category 3. Mm-hmm. And also the cross-reactivity of the antibodies to joints and organs, that's a longer-term play, somewhere between 5 and 7 years. And then there's the fourth category that all the miscellaneous things fall into, like the early fetal demise that I know you've spoken about a lot, you know, the long-term deaths in terms of infertility, the cancer rates that are going through the moon. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those things, the all-cause mortalities for all the different things, because we know the Pfizer shot has over 1,200 different types of syndromes and diseases and conditions that people can develop. And that's a little bit longer term play. So with all due respect to Dr. Marple, I don't think we may be at peak death right now from what we've seen from the beginning, mm-hmm. but this is not the peak death. This is like the front edge of all the deaths that we're going to be seeing over the next several years.
Yeah.
Very sad. Oh, come on. Well, maybe if I look here. There you go. This would work. Let's see what this has to say. Aww.
good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Chat with Dr. Jane. Oh, man, it just feels like things are moving faster and faster, doesn't it? Hope you have your coffee.
Yep, she's drinking her coffee.
So for those of you watching, whether you got here from my Telegram channel or directly from my Rumble channel, you might want to subscribe to my Rumble channel. It's really easy.
There you go.
No cost to it. But you'll always be able to go there when you know the Coffee Chat is being posted. So that's rumble.com/DrJaneRuby. And that'll take you right to that. And the more people that subscribe, the bigger our base gets. And there are other things that Rumble technically allows you to do after you reach certain subscription levels. So please encourage your friends to join my Rumble. We're going to put a lot of great stuff over there. The individual segments from my show are going to go there, as well as some, you know, fun things like the coffee chats. And they'll still be posted on my social media, so you can click on that to get to it. But it would be, it's great now to have a repository. So when someone says, hey, Dr. Jane, where was that, you know, segment on such and such, or when you did a tutorial on the nebulizer, I just give them rumble.com/DrJaneRuby, because then you'll see everything listed there, and there might be other things you want to review. So anyway, most people know my hometown where I grew up was upstate New York. I call it upstate. It's also known as Western New York, which is the Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse area. So my phone was blowing up late in the afternoon. Family who were at the game in Cincinnati, you know, they're diehard Buffalo Bills fans. They'll go within a day or two drive. So they were at Bengals Stadium. I lived in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky for 10 years at one point, and during my pharmaceutical career. So I know the area really well and sat in that Bengals Stadium many times. It's really highly charged with energy. It's a great, great place. But anyway, so they were blowing up my phone into the evening on Damar Hamlin's collapse. They couldn't hide it, right? They might be hiding his death. We don't know.
No,
there are reporters on the ground at Cincinnati Hospital saying that they have been given, you know, word after word that he is still alive. He's not able to breathe on his own, and he's on a ventilator. He will not come off that ventilator, I'm going to tell you right now, unless one of two things happens. He either regains the ability to breathe on his own, and they'll know that as they challenge him on the vent. There's a procedure for challenging. And then if they can breathe a little bit, then they lower the vent. Then they breathe a little bit, and then they get you up to your own breathing. Or the second thing is, if, God forbid, his family is faced with the decision based on a lot of different factors to pull that ventilator. I pray to God that doesn't happen. These are beautiful, young, you know, professional athletes. They train all their lives to do this. So I just want to say they couldn't hide it, because it happened in the stadium in front of tens of thousands of people.
It was TV.
So
we were,
and it's starting to happen in the United States, because the NFL was bought and paid for. You know, all these industries were paid. You think the airline industry just really truly believed in the vaccination against COVID? No, we did stories last year. Stu Peters and I did stories one after the other. We revealed document after document. I had communications leaked to me by people in ALPA, the Airline Pilots Association, showing the discussions of management of the companies and the unions who'd sold out. Everybody sold out, their pilots and flight attendants.
Oh.
Money, 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 money.
Was it just the pilots and them?
They got incentivized. Federal dollars. Don't worry, you'll lose business. Don't worry, we're going to send you $500 million. Don't worry about it. Same thing with the NFL. You don't think they didn't get money? Got to get everybody injected on your teams, because we're taking down the country. These dirty money grubbing bastards. These school boards, these cities, all taking money to force an experimental, dangerous material. Those of you who haven't seen my interview, by the way, with Dr. Tenpenny, and you can go to rumble.com/DrJaneRuby, and you can see that you can access the two segments, part one of my interview with her and part two. And I asked her, I said, are we at the peak of the death? Like those that took the shots, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. And she's got calculations and expert opinion. And she said, no, we're not even near the peak. We're not even near the peak. Yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. You're going to start seeing this happen to American athletes who are just slightly behind in the timeline taking these poison shots. From their European counterparts. So we pray for Damar Hamlin, all the other athletes, the young people, the high school and college people playing scrimmages and, you know, playing sports as they should be, enjoying their physical youth and prowess, now damaged by a DOD-run mass genocide operation. NFL. Yep. They were bought and paid for. Yep. Follow the money. Follow the money. Eventually, the money will be disclosed, and you'll understand that the leadership of the NFL, just like other industries, was incentivized with money.
Well, how they're paying the hospitals.
Don't worry about what's in the shots. Just get your people on it. So, let's talk about controlled opposition a little bit. And before I do, let me make a couple of comments. People come into my channel and they're new. Many of you have been with me since middle of 2021. You know what I've stated. You know what I've warned about. You also know I'm very consistent. I haven't changed my narrative. Unlike some of these people, like Malone, McCullough, Kirsch, Cole, you want to name them all. What I have observed, and I'm entitled to make a statement about what I've observed among a lot of people who are big freedom fighters on the front line, they change their narrative. They sort of tweak. I never tweak. They tell you, well, don't ever give it to children. Oh, my God, you can't give it to children. But you can give it to the elderly. They need it. What? Or some shots, you know, the mRNA, Pfizer, Moderna, those are bad. But some of them are okay. Novavax looks safe. Sputnik looks like it could be safe. You see what I mean about different... I've never done that. I've never said that anybody should take this. Ever. Not one time. And neither have other people. Like Dr. Tenpenny. Those are the people I trust. They're very few and far between. I've never said a certain segment of the population should take it while others shouldn't. I've said the opposite. You don't test it in that population, you don't get to give it to that population. This emergency use authorization tool has been used and abused illegally from day one. Take a look at the Ruby affidavit. Go to drjaneruby.com, my website. It's for some reason, the document size doesn't allow me to post it a lot on Telegram. But go to drjaneruby.com and read my affidavit. It's sworn under oath, it's notarized, and it has been submitted to numerous courts throughout the United States by Todd Callender and his attorney group that have helped the military. It's been filed in numerous federal courts. And the whole premise of that affidavit is that the EUAs and any subsequent approvals of all of this stuff is illegal and should nullify everything. And it should also nullify the legal indemnity. But you see, they got that locked up in the PREP Act. They got that locked up. All those politicians, all those guys, they're having the hearings. And you're like, Dr. Jane, don't be so hard on them. Really? Maybe you better do a little more homework. Just a little more homework. And maybe you ought to look into what they've signed off on down through the years. Because these guys are career politicians.
Right.
I rarely criticize the founding fathers, but if I could sit down with them, I'd say, dudes, you made a serious mistake. You limited the term of the president, and you didn't limit the term of the legislature? It was one thing you missed. You missed that 4C. Because if you didn't lock it in at the beginning, you leave it to them to vote themselves term limits, never going to happen. So controlled opposition is interested in controlling the narrative. Now, don't be stupid. They're not going to come out and tell you the bad stuff all the time. You're going to write them off, know that they are the opposition, and that's going to be the end of it. Hello? Jesus, I put out a thing on 2023 Darwinism. You know, the point of it is, you know, pay attention to the signal, not the noise. The point of it was, it's no more, the traditional, if you know your basic high school biology, it's the organisms that successfully navigate life, propagate, and so they continue. And so the stronger and stronger, okay? So on that premise, I said, survival of the critical thinkers, of the thinkers. And everybody's like, oh, Darwin, oh, he's a Mason, oh, he's a dead Satanist. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point. And if you're going to get yourself navel-gazing into all that bullshit, you're never going to get out of this because you're missing the point of people like me trying to tell you the truth, trying to give you the warnings. But controlled opposition now, they're going to spend about two-thirds giving you the good information. Don't take the shots. D-dimer. Oops, I kicked my... D-dimer. You know. And then every once in a while they're going to say, yeah, but, you know, the elderly benefited from it. Keep that confusion going. That's the goal. Jesus. The science, as we know it, with these shots, has not changed enough to justify. Well, Dr. Jane, maybe they saw the science changing. No, no, no.
No, I agree, Jane.
Radio, freedom's FreedomSlips.com.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
These same people that I've named, some of them, still talk about variants, pushing that variant scare. Ooh, Omicron, so you better get your booster. Implying you better get your booster, right? Come on, guys, think. Think for your survival. Okay. But people who are new on the channel, they come in, they don't know my history. They don't know how consistent I've been. They don't know the evidence I've brought forward. And so they come in new, and they're like, oh, I heard about Dr. Jane Ruby. Oh, I'm going to go to this channel. Oh, she's got, oh, that's great. She did a tutorial on nebulizing and peroxide. Oh, wow, I'm glad I'm here. And then the first time they see something, but they are too lazy, for whatever reason, have not gone back and looked at my Telegram. You got a search URL box at the top. Hello? You can search the pins. You can look at rumble.com, Stu Peters' channel, where my shows in their entirety are uploaded, every show. And you can search Dr. Jane Ruby, top, and then whatever topic. And it'll bring it up. Only on the Stu Peters channel, on Rumble, for the whole shows. Okay? And you can see, well, what has Dr. Jane said about Novavax? What has Dr. Jane said about Paxlovid? Or what has Dr. Jane said about controlled opposition in the past? No. The new people come on, and they, oh, I like it here. And then they see me posting something in line with what I've been warning about. And they get aggressive and argumentative. Ah, well, I thought I was coming. I don't like this site. I think I'm going to leave. And, well, what do you know? And somebody said last night, what, did you get your degree in a Cracker Jack box? No, honey, I didn't get my degrees in a Cracker Jack box. I spent years of my own blood, sweat, and tears, my own money that took me years to pay back, to get two doctorates, earned research degrees, published dissertations, if you want to look them up, in PubMed, approved by bona fide university committees. And I have two master's degrees earned by two accredited universities, and the foundation of which is a bachelor's degree in nursing. That's where I got my degrees. But that was nasty. What are you doing in the channel? If you're so quick to jump, what are you doing in my channel? Then go. Go somewhere else. Go get the information that makes you feel better. Okay. We want to grow the numbers. I want to grow the reach so we can get to more people. But new people that come into the channel, you've got to do your due diligence. When I go into a new channel, and I subscribe to very few, but when I go into a new channel, I go back in time. You can go in, you click on the person's icon, there's a search. Right? You click search, and that means you're searching within their channel. And I put topics in because I want to see their past posts and where they stand on things. The new people need to do that. Okay, let me get to some of the questions that you asked. Do I know of anyone who's been DNA tested who's taken the jabs, especially if they've taken the mRNA Moderna Pfizer? No, I do not. There could be. I do not know how that would be done. I'm not a genetic expert, but I imagine that would be very complicated. They may have buried the genetic changes. I don't know how, you know, detailed, in terms of the Human Genome Project, I don't know what the capabilities are, if they're there yet. And then secondly, I'm going to repeat, we have no way of knowing what you got. Any of you, on any given day, in any region of the United States, even within the same lot number, there could be different materials. So we don't even know. You may go in, maybe you got some toxic chemicals like PEG and SM-102 and God knows what else, or partial RNA strands that are coding for something else that you're going to suffer with in a few years. And we don't know that. And then let's say you could do a DNA test on that person and they come up normal because that wasn't the poison they got. So I'm just saying, it's very complex. Right. It's very layered. Anybody who gives you an off-the-cuff answer, oh, yeah, you're going to be fine, Dan Bongino, in a year. You're going to be fine if you haven't had anything.
Nobody knows.
No, you don't know that. Because you don't know exactly what they got. And if they did get partial RNA strands, you don't know what it's coded for. Okay. A lot of rumors, a lot of discussions flying around about injecting animals, livestock, with the mRNA vaccines. Wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't underestimate these psychopaths, these criminals, these murderers. That's why I say, let's go back to the beginning. Grow your own food. If you have some land in your backyard, you have a home, freestanding home with your own yard, you might want to utilize some of it to grow your own stuff. Is the ground perfect? No. Is the water going to be perfect? I don't know. Probably not. But it's better than getting factory, you know, commercial animal beef and chicken. Get a tower garden. drjaneruby.towergarden.com. Grow your own vegetables and fruits. Enough for your family. You don't have to grow it for the neighborhood. But if you all got one, you could have a pretty hefty, you could create your own produce for the community or your home. I go to there are a bunch of them in Florida, and I know that they're seasonal up north. This is where you want to invest in a freezer. Not expensive. I went to Home Depot. I don't know what the cubic feet is, but it's kind of like maybe like 4 feet across and 2 feet, you know, open it. I plugged it in. It was like $250. And I have it, and it's pretty deep. It's about 3 feet deep, and I have it filled with meats and other perishables from these farm markets. So the farm markets that I go to on the weekends, there are several independent grass-fed, non-chemical, non-antibiotic, et cetera, and they certainly wouldn't let mRNA injection vaccines injected into their animals. I mean, these are small operations. In fact, most of the time you can only get one dozen eggs because they only produce about 6 to 8. So I get there super early so I can get my one dozen. You know, prepare, plan. This is easy planning. You don't have to be a major prepper. Get your meats, store them. Go to these independents, support them. So they'll be there when people do start dropping dead from tainted meat, okay? From the grocery store. That's what you have to do. So do I think it's happening? It could be. I'm protecting myself in general. Yeah, but if I'm out with my family and we, you know, are at a festival or something, or we're in a restaurant, we get a quick burger, I know I'm taking a risk, but I'm not going to live my life in total fear. On one hand, I'm not going to live my life in total fear, but I'm also going to do some things that are protective for me and my family. So that's my story on that. People are saying, you know, we're back to the detox question. Dr. Jane, can I use this or that to detox? First of all, I don't give individual advice. I'm not your provider. We don't have a provider-patient relationship. Because I don't know your history. I don't know what medications you're on. I don't know what your, you know, history of present complaints is. And so I have never treated you. So I'm certainly not going to make recommendations. Now, there are general recommendations already set up that I advocate, like Dr. Zelenko's protocol for preventative, and then if you're sick with cold or flu. Dr. Jane, I had COVID, and I'm not feeling good. Yeah, it's the winter. You don't have COVID. You don't know what you have. COVID? Oh, how do you know you have COVID? Well, I got the flu, or my sinuses, and I have a headache, and fevers are... Wow. I got COVID. They got you right where they want you. And for those of you who did test, because I reply back, how do you know you have COVID? Because I know they're going to come back and say, well, my PCR test was positive. Okay. God. God, give me strength. You want me in this fight. I just feel the need to pray right now because I'm really overwhelmed. Lord God, I come to you today with my viewers right now. I know that many of them will pray with me. And I ask you for strength. I ask you for strength for everybody out there. I ask you to take the scales off their eyes. I ask you to reduce their aggression toward me for the purpose of opening their eyes to what's really happening. I know you walk with me. I feel it every day. Please, please, dear Lord, continue to distracted. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the people around me that are on this mission with me. And thank you for the people that watch my show and that are with me on Coffee Chat, the love and the support and the prayers that they send my way. But I got to tell you something. Oh, my God. You all have to start slowing down, step back, think things through. Well, I didn't agree with this person, or I didn't agree with Dr. Jane. Great, don't agree. Go tell me why. Somebody comes in the channel this morning, after I post the coffee chat, and says, well, I think I heard that everybody in the NFL or the Buffalo Bills or something were 100% a report that they were 100% jabbed. Okay, I got to take a moment and do some teaching, okay? So I reply, and believe me, every minute is precious because I'm finishing the coffee chat. I've got to have a team meeting with production because we're working on a new graphics for the show. There's something going on every minute. But I take the time because it's really important, and I say to the person, let's slow down. You think, quote, unquote, and then you saw a report. Let's tighten this up. You either saw it or you didn't, so it's not you think, or, you know, why is it tentative, and share with us where the report is. Turns out, she said, well, I was reluctant to say because it was Steve Kirsch, and I know you don't like him. No, it's not that I don't like him. It's that he puts out some good information. He has behaviors that make me very suspicious of him. He's never interviewed me. He's never asked. He has communicated with me around the time I found Hirschman, and he interrupted an interview that I had scheduled with someone else. I don't know how he did it. And then she would never talk to me again. And then he does some things that make me uncomfortable. Okay? It's not that I don't like him in the sandbox. It's that I don't respect him. I'm suspicious of him. I'm not comfortable with anything. I don't trust anything he puts out. Long-term Silicon Valley, progressive, left-winger, all of a sudden sees the light. Right? But doesn't ask Malone why he's not in the lab finding the antidote to this poison he supposedly invented that Kirsch took. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, let me keep my strength of mind as well and my intellect so I can sort this stuff out. I mean, what is this person doing in my channel? She sort of deceptively spread what I think is misinformation. Nothing's 100%.
Right.
Did every Buffalo Bill take it? Of course not. We have proof of that. Did everybody in the NFL take it? Of course not. So what was she doing? She knew it. She was spreading Kirsch's misinformation and then being deceptive about it and hiding it till I asked her to be specific. I want to end on a little bit more of a high note. If you haven't seen it from last night, amazing interview. Again, with brother Alexis Buñolo, the Franciscan monk, the U.S. expat, dual citizen living in Italy, was in Rome last night. We had been communicating all last week about Pope Benedict, how he was failing. Brother Buñolo has lots of connections inside the Vatican. He was tracking the Pope's, the exiled, if you will, within the Vatican, Pope Benedict's condition. We were off last week, so I couldn't have gotten a show produced. The team was on vacation, and so I scheduled to have him interviewed Monday morning, which we did. By the time, so Saturday night, which was New Year's Eve, Pope Benedict XVI died. And so it became a more, even more poignant interview. But, you know, they're 5 or 6 hours ahead in Rome, and so Brother Buñolo surprised me when I connected with him and prepared, we were ready to do the live stream. He was standing in front of the Vatican. And I have to tell you, the lighting was beautiful. The setting. And what the message was for me, and I hope it's for you as well, is that basilica and the background, the people, the hopeful people, you know, it was just incredibly beautiful. That there's still joy and beauty in that, even though there are corrupted serpents inside, right? And Brother Buniolo left us by the end of the show with an incredible prediction of a miracle from Jesus Christ, from the Lord. He said, a miracle is coming. And this is going to be, what's going to happen is now that Pope Benedict has gone to his heavenly reward, that they are going to convene and they are going to, I hope this happens, they are going to elect a new pope, a real pope, because the current Pope Francis was a CIA installation, according to Brother Buniolo and his evidence, and that everything he's done and everything he is illegal. And he said, watch for a miracle from Christ. And so that's the note we ended on with him. And in the background, it was dusk and the lighting of the Vatican and this beautiful Christmas tree that it was off to the right of the Basilica. And it was absolutely beautiful. And if you go to his website, fromrome.info, fromrome.info, I highly encourage you to do that. He has the whole story. He has his videos of walking into the Basilica where Pope Benedict lied in state. And I want you to know there were a lot of people who were under the mistaken impression that Pope Benedict was just another pedophile protecting Pope, and he wasn't. It was the opposite. You need to watch that interview. Go to rumble.com/drjaneruby, or you can watch the entire show, which is those two segments and my intro with some interesting information on rumble.com/Stu Peters channel. Okay? Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this coffee chat, and I will see you tomorrow on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show Wednesday. Have a great day. Much love.
Yeah, she really spoos. Gets decorated when she does her show. I don't blame her, but there's a lot of coffee chat here. That's cool. I guess she doesn't do it every day. So, but that's nice. Oh, this is too long. They're both too long. They got the, yeah. Well, everything's a little too long right now. Or not. Let's see. Where'd that one go? Here. Like it or not, this just, I think everybody needs to be aware.
Nope, this is no joke, guys. Earthquake Prediction has just put out a major warning, a 48-hour warning 6 hours ago. This could be a very dangerous earthquake, with this prediction stating that it could be a 7.0 or higher. And this is all due to a huge quake signal that just hit in California. Please share this video. People need to be on alert. Let's get you that information. Welcome back, everybody, to Riverside Homestead. Thank you for watching our videos. If you guys like prepping tips, news that affects you, and emergency preparedness how-tos weekly, be sure to hit that notification bell so you guys can stay up to date. Let's jump into this one. So this is no joke. This could pop off within 24 to 48 hours. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get you all the details that I know about this. I'm going to tell you about an app that you can put on your phone to give you earthquake warnings. So some people are wondering, is this the big one? The massive earthquake that's supposed to hit along the San Andreas Fault. It has been expected to happen within the next 100 years. And the experts warn that the climate change could make an already bad earthquake even worse. Even people are speculating one of these big earthquakes will knock California into the ocean. Is that even possible? We'll go over it. I'll also tell you when the last big earthquake was down there and which one was the most damaging. For starters, Earthquake Prediction is putting out a tweet, 48-hour warning, dangerous situation, warning, 7.0 earthquake is likely to hit the San Francisco Bay to northwest of Los Angeles area between January 2nd and January 3rd. Huge quake signals just hit California. And again, this is a prediction from Earthquake Prediction. So an earthquake that's expected to be around a 7.0, you don't get these type of warnings all the time. In fact, a devastating 7.0 earthquake can cause a lot of damage. Just in the past few days, we've had a couple good ones. There was a 5.4 30 miles south of Eureka, and then on December 20th, there was a 6.4 in about the same area. This is kicking up a lot of activity, and now we've got a 7.0 prediction. As you can see on this map, a lot of activity going up and down the fault line areas, and it's been kicking up, and now that there's this prediction of a 7.0, it could be a lot worse. You never know. So if you know of anyone that lives on that coastline, they need to be on their toes. It's going to be good to at least have this app on your phone so that you can have some type of warning, and you're going to want to be conscientious of where you're at here in this next 36, 48 hours. You definitely want to try not to be in an area that you could possibly get hurt. It's nice having a warning because at least you can be on your toes for this segment of time so you can be aware of where you're at and your surroundings. So again, guys, please share this video. I know we got a lot of folks down in California. Some people lean on YouTube video alerts over the media. Let's get people warned so that they're prepared. Is it the big one, or is it linked to the big one with all of this crazy activity? I've got tons of people here saying, is this the big one? I've got tons of people saying that the weather is just acting erratic. It's acting weird. Got all kinds of different weather events going on, bizarre weather and more. Things are starting to get kind of odd. So what do the scientists say about this? Could California be knocked into the ocean? Do scientists think an earthquake could sink the Western California? This often comes up when people talk about earthquake activity along the Pacific coast of the United States. Seismologists have predicted that a massive scale 8.0 or higher on the Richter scale earthquake will shake the region sometime within the next 30 years or so. So this is called the big one. Could this be the big one, or is something amping up to the big one? That makes many Californians understandably nervous and inspires a variety of apocalyptic disaster precautions. Whether it happens or not, which it probably likely will happen, being prepared is the key. So a lot of people ask, is it possible for California to fall into the ocean? What do you guys think? Now, there's a lot of speculation, but let me know in the comments below what you guys think about that one. The scientists say no. There is nowhere for California to go. California is part of the Earth's crust system spanning two tectonic plates, the North American plate and the Pacific plate. Earthquakes occur here along the San Andreas Fault because of slipping between these two plates. Objectively, some people say anything could happen. And there's definitely a lot of theories and illustrations that show how that could be done. Some of you might wonder, what was the last major earthquake in California? The Ridgecrest earthquake that hit on July 4th and 5th in 2019 were the last major earthquakes in California. They registered a magnitude of 6.4 and 7.1, respectively. These were the largest in Southern California since the M7-1 Hector Mine earthquake.
But just in case, always beware, be aware, and be prepared. Love ya. Later, bye.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? history. Real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three.